Yeah, okay, here's our buddy Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. How you doing, Steve?
Fellas, the Caps are on a roll right now. Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Good job, Sansy. They beat New Jersey. That's me and the other guy could beat them by ourselves.
Settle down up there in the frozen tundra. Relax up there.
Dude, right, it's tough watching you on TV every weekend. We are freezing our asses off up here.
Hold on.
And you've got a golf shirt on.
Before we get to the golf, hold on a second. The Caps are on a roll right now. They're in first place in a very tough division. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
come on.
No, listen, man, they deserve the love. We're well aware of that. This is just routine, is it not, for Capitals fans or what?
Well, we've been winning for a long, long time. I can still taste that champagne from the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago.
Yeah, against Vegas. That was a significant win. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. The last time the Leafs hoisted the trophy, I apologize.
Yeah, there were five other teams in the league.
It's old, Sansy. It's old. That joke is old, man.
Let's see. I was born in 1969. I don't believe Wendell Clark ever lifted that Stanley Cup.
No.
Ty Domi. Who else? I mean, come on now.
Dougie, Matts, nobody. It hasn't happened since you've been alive. 1967, there were five other teams.
I was getting to the 69 minus two, but that's okay.
No, well, listen, man. O's right though. Watching you in the golf shirt, you've been flying all over the place, and that course, man, that looked like a cool course. I was listening to Victor Hovland yesterday. I like this guy because he's very honest. And man, did he scramble and grind? And he finishes T2 over the weekend, and we'll get to the winner in just a moment. But I'm sure you heard his quote where he's like, "Yeah, I don't really like Florida courses. I'm not really a fan, and when I got here on Monday, I didn't like it, but the more I played it, I actually came around on this course." And what was the reaction to the concession? They've never played there before.
Yeah, honest to a fault is Victor Hovland. I think the game, we're going to get to Morikawa in a minute, but the game is in such good hands. If you think about how sports works, there's that turnover. Even in team sports, it's the same thing. That turnover from great teams / great players to the younger teams that become the up-and-comers with those great players on them. And in golf, it's the same thing. And Victor Hovland is a tremendous winner and young player on the PGA Tour. Colin Morikawa, we'll get to him in a second. He won yesterday, fourth time he's won. Matthew Wolff has won before on the PGA Tour. Also was in the final group with Bryson DeChambeau at the U.S. Open. You've got all these young players who are cool to be around. They're honest. Got a ton of game, a ton of moxie. Victor Hovland got to the golf course like everybody else, seeing it for the very first time. The concession club is a cool place. Man, those green complexes are hard. Now, I think the guys loved it more on Sunday night when they left, more so than when they got there on Monday or Tuesday earlier in the week and were like, "Whoa, check this place out." It's an awesome course. Was in really good condition, too.
Sansy, Morikawa was the winner. Do you mind sharing with us? He had an unbelievable speech with you post round when he finished off the victory. And as he was leaving, the camera kind of panned to you and him walking away. Can you share what was said there? Because it seemed like you kind of put your arm around him and said something that was obviously between you two. But what was said?
Oh man, there's nothing is worse than when we get in a camera shot. And I would never want to do that. I'm a big believer, whether I'm in the booth, calling the play-by-play or down on the ground talking to the guys, I'm a big believer in less is more. And it's their show, and we're just clowns in the circus for the audience. And I think that when he said what he said to us on NBC, and he got emotional because he was talking about Tiger, what he's meant to the game, what he meant to him. Then he talked about losing his grandfather a month before yesterday and saying thank you while people are alive and saying I love you while people are alive and missing out on that opportunity after people are gone. He got emotional. So he's a 24-year-old kid. Again, I'm 52. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm an old man out there. You know, these guys could be our kids, you know. And he got emotional. And he walked away. He was going up the hill. Now, in my ear, they were saying, "You're clear." So I'm like, that means you're done, which means they're not showing him anymore. So he looked over at me and jokingly goes, "Dude." And I looked to my left, and he said, "You made me cry on TV, man." I said, "No, I didn't. I said, no, man, I didn't make you cry. I said, I just asked you the question. I said, I didn't realize you were going to go there with your grandfather. I said, either way, it was a really cool moment. I put my hand on his back and just said, hey, man, it's a really cool moment. It was great that you let the audience in on what kind of person we already know you are. And he kind of nudged me and said thanks and moved along and said congratulations. And it was nothing too crazy. It was just kind of a gesture from a player looking at me and then me going back to him and just saying, you know, it's all good. He was special, man, not only on the golf course, but that kid is such a great guy. He's going to be a star in the world of golf.
Yeah, and he obviously paid tribute to Tiger Woods with his interview with you.
Yeah.
How was the week? Just guys talking about Tiger, a lot of in the golf world wearing red, traditional Sunday red for Tiger Woods. Just how was the week in general, just dealing with it, the questions, people talking about him, and then ultimately the clothing tribute to Tiger on Sunday?
Yeah, it started out really bizarre. Obviously, the news came out on Tuesday afternoon that he had gotten into a car crash early in the morning out near Los Angeles on Tuesday morning. And as the news trickled out, everybody kind of went around as they do today with their texts and all the kind of thing, making sure everything's okay. Once everybody realized that he was going to live, I mean, it was a nasty-looking car crash, and that he had been on the surgical table for 10 hours and that he had come out of it okay, you know, I think everybody had him on their minds. And then they played the first round on Thursday. I think it was only natural for us on TV anyway, live TV, to talk about it and also talk to the guys about it. So we didn't want to overplay it, but they were obviously thinking about Tiger and obviously talking about Tiger and doing so privately with us. So we figured publicly we might as well spread the word a little bit. And then it kind of tapered off on Friday and Saturday. Really no news coming out of the camp in Southern California, other than Tiger moving to Cedar Sinai, which meant, by the way, good news that he was stable enough to move from one hospital to the other. And then on Sunday, we knew on Saturday night that they were going to wear the red shirts and black pants to love and support their friend, their peer, their icon, their hero, the guy who inspired them to play the game. So I thought it was a cool gesture. I know it looked great on TV. The guys were genuine about it. It came from the right place. And I thought the whole thing was handled very well. It wasn't a funeral. It was a tribute to a guy who has meant so much to a lot of these guys, and they wanted to wear his traditional colors, and I thought they wore it well.
Channel with Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. We're embarking now on maybe the best run of the season over the next month and a half. We're at Bay Hill this upcoming week. Then you got the Players. The Honda's coming up, and we know the Masters is right around the corner. So you got three or four big tournaments, and it obviously culminates with arguably the biggest one back at Augusta National. Can you give us one or two players who you're focused on here, who you think will develop into big storylines in the golf world over the next month and a half?
Yeah, also the WGC Dell Technologies match play, a cool match play event in Austin, Texas, is the week after the Honda. So that's a good one as well. It's a great stretch, and I think this is the time of year, guys, where you can get hot and on a roll. That's why Jordan Spieth is playing this week at Bay Hill for the first time. That's why Ricky Fowler is coming back to play here at Bay Hill. Rory McIlroy has won here before at Bay Hill, so he's going to be playing this week. I think the guys get a sense that if you get hot at the right time, the week before the Players next week, and then you get the Masters in 4 weeks, you could really get on a roll. I think, and I'm not a chalk guy, I'm really not, but watching a California kid, Colin Morikawa, who's already won a major, he's now won in four different states. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but four wins in 41 career starts is a very big deal. And your game being able to travel is a massive deal. He's playing on Bermuda here in Florida, out there Kikuyu playing in California, desert golf in Nevada, that kind of thing. So I think Colin Morikawa is a guy to look after. He's taking this week off and then going to start a massive run at the Players. I also think, and I don't know why I get this sense, because he didn't do anything on Sunday again, but I think McIlroy is primed to start getting hot here. But I also think Brooks Koepka is the guy who looks the strongest to me of the top name players. Dustin Johnson did not play well last week, but Koepka looks like he's starting to sharpen his teeth a little bit. So I would look for him, Morikawa, and McIlroy to start getting on a little bit of a roll here as we get towards Augusta in 7 weeks.
Has the temperature cooled down, Sanzi, on Bryson DeChambeau driving at 575 yards onto every par 5 green? It's like it's not, I don't know, I'm glad it's not the talk of every tournament and it's settled down. And not that I dislike the guy, he's not my favorite golfer in the world, but we're talking about the quality players and not about his swing speed every tournament.
You're glad the talk is tied down. How about us?
My goodness. No kidding.
Jeez, oh, boy. I mean, look, all credit to him. You're going out there and winning multiple times last season, including winning the U.S. Open at the beginning of this particular season, which was a wraparound because of all the COVID stuff. But the Bryson talk has seemingly kind of chilled a little bit. And I think that a lot of people in golf are wondering, can you actually sustain that type of weight gain, that type of swing speed? These guys are out there. It's amazing to me. I've been out here a long time. It's just like in hockey and basketball, football, baseball, tennis. But in this particular sport, they go out there and play. They warm up, say, for 90 minutes. That's after working out. And then they go play. And then you see them on the range for an hour afterward. They never stop hitting golf balls. So how much can your body take? DeChambeau put a lot of stress on his body in the last 18 months, and it seems like to me, now it could be just the game, the fickle nature of the sport, but it seems to me that he's taken a touch of a back seat, a little bit, to where he was in 2020, and we'll have to wait and see if he can get it back in gear. But right now, there's not a lot of chatter as to that swing speed, and there is certainly not a lot of chatter on every sport. Individual or team, you always see copycats. Hey, that guy's having success. I want to play like him, or I want to do what he's doing. There's a little bit of talk that is someone going to do what Bryson's doing because he's had so much success? Well, now that it's cooled off a bit, I think everybody else is kind of saying, see, we told you we weren't going to follow the lead on that. So we'll have to wait and see. He's a tremendous player. He's a nice kid. But there was a lot of talk about him, a lot of hype, and it seems like it's died down quite a bit.
Well, it's always great catching up with you, Steve. The Caps are rolling, like you said. They're in a tough division, but they sit atop their division just like the Maple Leafs do up here. So maybe we're on a path, you know, conference
Come
final.
I'd love to see it. One time. How about we let the fans in May and June, and we go to a Caps-Leafs Eastern Conference final? Come on,
love
man.
Love it. Has to happen.
Let's do it.
Has to happen. Lock it in.
Let's do it.
Great catching up with you as always. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Steve.
All right, fellas. Be good. Take care.
You got it. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. And you're right about DeChambeau. Like, Morikawa is a perfect example of that, where he hits the ball like 295 off the tee.
He can stretch it out. He can probably hit at 320, but he's not looking to hit at 370.
He's not trying to. I think he was 60th in the field in yards off the tee.
That's where I find the tournament. The DeChambeau stuff just went too far. It's like, try to hit it 365 off the tee. That's good enough. That's an advantage over everyone else.
Right, exactly.
Like, you want to hit it, what, 397? Like, what the hell are you talking about? And he proved it at the Masters that if it doesn't go straight, you're screwed way more than anyone else because it's going into areas where even if it's buried in the normal rough, people aren't looking there, so it's gone.
Well, and they were saying this on the Golf Channel today, like throughout the history of the game, there's a lot of different elements that have to come together if you're going to win a golf tournament. But really, if you do not hit your irons well, you're not going to have sustained success. Like, it's that simple. The best, like, Tiger's probably the greatest iron player of all time. Nicholas was outstanding. Morikawa was clearly great. You know, and DeChambeau can do it when he's on. But there's different elements. You got to putt. You got to hit your irons. You got to have a short game. You got to scramble. It's not just, hey, I hit it 380 off the tee. Like, good for you, man. There's a lot of great players.
Yeah, and they don't care how they putt. You just mentioned putting, Brian. They don't care how they putt anymore. 24-year-old Colin Morikawa went to a saw grip. That's usually meant for or suitable for a guy heading to the senior tour later on in the career. He just said, whatever works for me to get the ball in the hole, right, I'm going to the saw. And I'll call Marco Mira and ask him how it works, and I don't care what it looks like.
It's the worst looking, outside of Adam Scott. Adam Scott's got the worst looking putter and putter setup in golf. Because Mickelson does that now. Mickelson's been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And
Webb Simpson's got a weird-looking getup,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it does. Really weird. But, hey, listen, if you're cashing checks and winning tournaments, and who am I? Like, great, I look good on the green. I can't putt. Doesn't matter.